John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
This is a story that was in the Cairns Post Saturday, the Weekend Post, if you like. Very interesting indeed. It says a surging number of children removed from neglectful and abusive homes is driving a skyrocketing government spend on out-of-care home and an urgent push to sign up new foster carers. Now, according to the 2023 report on government services, $1,200 million was spent in 21-22 on child protection care services. $1,200 million in a skyrocketing increase on the $3.5 million outlay in 2012-13. By comparison, Victoria spent $9.6 million in the same period. Can you believe this? And has a population 1.3 million greater than Queensland. In the past 10 years, the total number of children admitted into out-of-home care, including resi care and foster care, has increased from 8,136 in 2011-12 to 9,651 in 2020-21. Why the explosion in cost? It's unbelievable. Anyway, former Cairns child safety worker Joe Borg, you've heard Joe on the program before, said a foster carer allowance of about $600 a fortnight, that's $300 a week, foster carer allowance was much cheaper than an $800 cost per night for each child placed in resi care. $800 per night, well, it's $11,200, surely not. $11,200 for the fortnight compared with $600 a fortnight foster care. Surely not. Hell. My God, I wonder how many are in resi care. Anyway, Joanne Borg, former child safety executive and co-founder, Changing Cairns Crime Problems, is on the line. Joanne, good morning.
Oh, good morning, John.
Staggering figures. Are they real?
Are they?
Well, $600 a fortnight. And if they're not in foster care, they go to resi care. Resi care a fortnight is $11,200 one child? No.
Yeah. Look, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? And sadly, John, I've been in the sector for 35 years, and the increase or the uptake of that particular model of care, the resi care model of care, has increased so much. You know, it's skyrocketed in all the years that I've been working in the child protection sector. And I think, you know, there's a number of reasons. It's not easy to be a foster carer. It's certainly, you're not paid for it. You're given an allowance, as you've read out to listeners. Foster carers are given an allowance. They need to be able to afford to substitute the areas of care for the child, because some children have very complex needs. There is an additional payment that child safety will top up for foster carers who have the care of children with additional or complex needs, but it still doesn't go anywhere near as far. So there's the financial aspect of it. The other aspect of it is, you know, what you go through as a foster carer to become a foster carer. I'm sure you've heard from foster carers before that it's not an easy process. It means that everybody knows your business and what's going on in your home. You know, there's not a lot of incentives to become a foster carer other than to look after troubled children who are really needing care. So resi care's increased a lot, and it's not a model of care that's really conducive to the needs of children and young people.
This is interesting, given there's a fair bit of confusion about what families can be foster carers when it comes to Indigenous children. Now, with the Stolen Generation Inquiry, I understand non-Indigenous families cannot adopt Indigenous children, but when it comes to foster care, that requirement doesn't exist. Is that what you're saying?
That's Yes, there's a difference. So, you know, years ago we had the, there were a lot more incidents of adoption of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. And yes, absolutely, the Stolen Gens Inquiry has lessened the amount of adoptions or permanent care orders that they were heard for. Children and young people, Aboriginal children and young people in the care of non-Indigenous carers. But the push has been towards kinship care. So there's a principle in practice that's called the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child placement principle, yeah, which basically means that the order of preference is if a child has to be removed from their family due to safety, their safety reasons, the order of preference, of course, is for that child to be placed with family members or extended family members.
Right.
Now, that should happen for any child, regardless of their cultural background, but particularly given that we've had issues with the disconnection of children from culture and family, this is why that placement principle's in place.
You mentioned the term permanent care. Is that the kinship arrangement you're talking about now or something different?
Oh, it can be. It can be. And hopefully best practice is that children will always be placed within their extended families. But this is why foster care exists, because where extended family placements can't be found, the next step would be to go into a generalist foster care placement or look for a generalist foster carer to look after the child or young person. And then the last resort is the resi care model, if that makes sense. I think where the system goes wrong is that there's not enough effort put into finding kin and finding extended family members to look after these children. And, you know, that's where the biggest gap is within the system. And so, you know, practice is to just revert to finding foster care placements or the last resort being resi care, which, as we say, has increased tenfold.
Oh, 11,200, one child per fortnight.
Yes, yes.
Joanne, don't go away. Yeah. It says here, co-founder of Changing Cairns Crime Problems. Are we making any headway at all?
I think it's worse. I think we're in a worse position with what the government's come out with the changes to legislation. I still don't feel like they're hearing us, victims of crime.
Yes.
Like, yes, there's a forum on today. That's not about us being able to have our voices heard about the issues around youth crime in Cairns.
Yes.
That's actually about the system of victims of crime support, which is really a furphy because it's limited only to people who have experienced violence in a crime. Mm. So if your home's been broken into or your car's been stolen, the argument is that you haven't been a victim of crime in terms of... Yes, exactly. And I actually did apply for it myself, and I would argue that it's taken me many years to recover from the incident of what happened to my husband and I, and I wasn't even offered counselling. I was denied counselling. It took 2 years for the application to be processed, and we were denied some counselling services, let alone anything else.
Oh, this is heartbreaking, isn't it?
It's terrible.
It's an ongoing scandal, Joanne, and nobody's interested in addressing it.
No, because it will reveal what so many of the issues are, the reality of the system and where we're going wrong systemically, you see, John. And that's why I've always called for an open inquiry. You know, if they were real about addressing these problems, they would say, all right, community, let's get together and let's voice our concerns and let's look at the facts and the reality of what the system actually provides. All we get is rhetoric on TV from politicians.
Dreadful.
So I would hope that one day we get to a place where the truth can be told about exactly. what's really happening.
Exactly. Very well said. Good on you, Joanne. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Joanne Borg, former Child Safety Executive and co-founder, Changing Cairns Crime Problems.